That's beautiful. Thank you. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this day. It is so nice to have you here today. It is nice to have heat again. Thank God and Mighty Heating for getting our heat restored. So it's good to have that. A few announcements today. First, there is going to be a children's sermon after the greeting, so the kids come up here. And also, there won't be any junior church today to allow Heather to kind of sit through the service. The other thing to point out is that we're having a congregational meeting after the service. There will be a congregational meeting discuss extending a call to Rebecca DePoe, member of PNC session, and Reverend DePoe will be available to answer your questions prior to a vote to extend the call to her as pastor for Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Also a reminder that next Sunday we're having a work day after service. Goal here is to spread some mulch and kind of clean up some of the stuff in the basement. So please come dressed appropriately, bring some warm clothing. It looks like at this point it's not going to rain, but it may be a little bit chilly. So we hope to see you next week for the work day. I'll let you all read Reverend DePoe's bio in the bulletin. I was struck, though, by the last sentence. She now lives in Westview and spends a lot of time sitting in traffic on 279. And in her spare time, she likes to do CrossFit, crochet, and drinking strong coffee. So we hope your commutes get better. So I think that kind of covers it all. With that, I'll turn over to, for people again, you should have gotten a letter this week stating that she's our candidate to be our next pastor. Yeah, so please pay attention during the service, and then we'll have the congregational meeting afterwards. With that, I turn it over to her for the call to worship, which is in your bulletin and also on the screens.
Please join with me in our call to worship. Come to us even now, O Lord of life, and fill this place with your presence. We praise your name and rejoice in your love. We stand in utter amazement of who you are. Everyone who calls upon you will find fulfillment. They will rejoice forever because you are God. Rejoice and give thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Come, let us worship God. Pray with me. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ lived for us. Christ died for us. Christ rose in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, and a new life has begun. Friends, know that you are forgiven, and be at peace. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
In God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, having been reconciled to God, let us show signs of that reconciliation with one another by greeting one another in faith. Thank you. All right, so we're going to get started with our children's time. All right, good morning, everyone. My name is Rebecca. Maybe you guys could tell me what your names are? What's your name? Madeline. Emma. Sean. Sam. I can't promise I'm going to remember them, but I'm going to try. All right, so this morning in our big sermon, we're going to talk about learning something new. So can you raise your hand if you've ever had to learn something new? Everybody's hand should be raised. We've all had to learn something new. What are some new things you've had to learn? Maybe I'm not going to say that into the microphone, but I see your point. How about you? Practicing the piano.
Resurrection.
I'm still learning what resurrection is, so you're ahead of me. How about you?
Geography.
Very good. All right, I'm going to use one of your examples as the example. So we're going to pretend that we're learning how to play the piano, okay? So if you are just learning how to play the piano, what are some things you do when you're just starting out? Go ahead. Yeah, sure. Yes. So, yes. So you learn how to touch, push the keys on the keyboard. And you learn that each key makes a different sound. What are some other things you do?
You actually set your fingers on the
Yes, because how you set your fingers determines how fast or how slow you can play the song. Okay, so let's say it's your first day learning how to play the piano. Are you going to be able to sight read music right away?
No, sure not.
No, right, yeah. No, nobody can sight read the first time they sit down at a piano because they're just learning. So when you're just learning, you have to kind of start from the beginning and then go on. So let's say that you are now in your 50s and you've been playing piano professionally for 30 years. What are some things that you're able to do now that you're an expert that you couldn't do as a beginner? Yes, you can just pick up the song right away. What else? Yes, you're actually going to know how to do it. And at that point, you're probably able to write your own music because you've been playing for so long that, you know, you don't have to follow music. You can just play. So the reason that I share this example with you guys this morning is because in our scripture passage, a rich man is going to go to Jesus and he's going to ask Jesus, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" Which is a fancy way of asking, "How can I follow you better?" So Jesus says, follow the commandments. And he's talking about the Ten Commandments, which are kind of the foundational part of being Christian. Everyone has to know what they are and has to know how to follow them before they can advance. So the rich man tells Jesus, "Jesus, I got this. I've been doing this since I was a boy." So Jesus says, "Okay, sell your possessions and then follow me." And the rich man goes, "Darn it. I'm a rich man and I have a lot of possessions and I don't want to sell them. So he kind of wanders off and he doesn't continue. So the point of this story that Jesus is trying to make is that in following Jesus, new behavior is required. So when you start off, that new behavior is going to look like following the commandments. But as you progress in your faith, that new behavior might look like something like selling your possessions. Just like when you're learning how to play the piano, you start by learning where your fingers go and what the different notes are. And when you're a professional, you start sight reading music and writing your own. And the point that Jesus is trying to make is that when you're starting, it's okay that you're not that good. Nobody's that good when they start. But when you've been doing it for a while, not only are you expected to be good, but you're expected to contribute to it. So that's what Jesus is going to be talking about for today. All right, I like to end my children's sermon with a little prayer. So let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have invited us to this life of discipleship, this life of following you. Wherever we find ourselves in our discipleship this morning, we pray that you would help us to grow and you would help us to be faithful to our call to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys can head back to your seats.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Everybody warm? For prayer and prayer requests, the first prayer I have is from Kathy Sagi for her son Michael. Michael is apparently going through a pretty bad depression. Please pray for the peace our Lord can provide. Prayers also that he returns to his church and is surrounded by his love from his church family, as well as love from his family. Next prayer and prayer request are from Carol and John Kane. Prayers, of course, for Maeve Sasso. Prayers also for safe travel for their daughter Stephanie as she travels to New York City. And prays for a great reunion with cousins they haven't seen in 40 years. Also, I'd like to welcome and extend my own personal welcome to Reverend DePoe, and I hope everybody enjoys her this morning.
Him? Yes, sorry. Friends, please rise and join me for our hymn of meditation, number 726, Will You Come and Follow Me? Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship, and forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who are facing particular challenges, whether they are mourning the loss of a loved one, facing new job uncertainties, or just generally going through a rough time. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to be with them during this time. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for our country, particularly as we approach Election Day. We pray for all of our elected officials on the state, municipal, and federal level. We pray that you would give them wisdom for this unique moment in history. Lord, we also pray for all of our brothers and sisters hit by hurricanes these months. Particularly today, Lord, we pray for everyone affected by Hurricane Michael. We pray that you would send relief swiftly and that it would be a blessing to those who most need it. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we thank you for this day. It feels like it has been a long time in coming. We thank you for the exciting possibility of shared ministry between our two churches. Lord, we pray that you would be with us today in our sermon and in our congregational meeting. Help us to be who you want us to be during this time. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, God has blessed us abundantly. Let us now continue to worship God by sharing a portion of our tithes, by sharing our tithes and our offerings. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of God, wherever that may be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Before I read the scripture today, I'm going to drive my wife crazy. Well, I do anyway. She often accuses me of having my glass always half full. Can you feel the hope in here today? Scripture lesson is from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first."
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, we are going to study the parable of Jesus and the rich man. Particularly in Mark's gospel, Jesus likes to tell parables so that he can teach the disciples about the kingdom of God. In the parable of Jesus and the rich man, Jesus wants the disciples to learn what new behavior this new kingdom is going to require of them. The parable begins with the rich man asking Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells the rich man, "Follow the commandments. Love God and love your neighbor." "Teacher, I have kept these since I was a boy." "Okay," said Jesus. "Go, sell everything you have, then come and follow me." The man went away sad, for he was a rich man and he knew just how difficult it would be for him to sell everything. In this parable, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that the kingdom of God is near. God is doing something new in their midst. And this new kingdom is going to require new behavior. New behavior like selling their possessions and following God into the unknown. The point that Jesus is trying to make here is that stepping into the future requires change, and change is sometimes painful. But do not despair, Jesus tells the disciples. It is exactly this new inbreaking of the kingdom of God that makes new behavior possible. See, for Jesus, life in the kingdom of God is all about transformation and character change. For new disciples, Jesus instructs them to follow the commandments. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Because transformation for new disciples comes in the form of aligning oneself with God's laws. For more advanced disciples like the rich man, Jesus instructs them to sell their possessions so that they can learn how to subvert the power that money wants to have over how they do things like worship God and how they can love one another. But friends, regardless of where we find ourselves in our discipleship this morning, Jesus is clear that the first step of discipleship is a desire to follow Jesus. And this is a slow, relational process. It develops over time through the spiritual disciplines of prayer, worship, confession, and repentance. We also cannot complete this process on our own. We need other people to teach us how to take these new steps of new and sometimes confusing behavior. But Jesus gives us hope that with God, change and first steps are not only possible, but they're actually already happening. This week, as I was preparing this sermon, I was doing a lot of thinking about change and transformation. I'm sure some of you noticed that I'm walking a little bit stiffly this morning. And that's because 3 weeks ago, I started a new exercise program called CrossFit. CrossFit is a mix of aerobic exercising, strength training, and weightlifting. And the goal is to achieve constantly varied but functional movements that are executed at a really high intensity. Now, I am probably the last person one would peg as a CrossFitter. I joined CrossFit because one of my dear friends invited me to try out a class with her. I'd been complaining about fatigue and stress and just general ickiness. And she invited me to this class because she thought, you know, a little exercise might do you good. In the beginning, I said, no, you have to be kidding me. I've seen the YouTube videos. CrossFit athletes don't just do push-ups. They do handstand push-ups. You need to be about 5'6", have a six-pack, and have 0% body fat to do a handstand push-up. CrossFit is for real athletes, I told my friend, not for somebody who can't even do one push-up on the floor. But my friend wore me out with her nagging, and I agreed to go just to prove her wrong. One of the first things that you learn in your first CrossFit class is that you can get very, very, very hurt in CrossFit if you don't know what you're doing. So to cut down on injuries, my coach requires all new athletes to take what he calls fundamental classes, which I call the baby classes.
The goal of this class is to learn CrossFit terminology and work on some very basic skills. Now, when I started these baby classes, I had no skills. I'm not allowed to do floor push-ups. I have to do them on the wall because my form is so bad. Handstand push-ups are a pipe dream at this point. I swing a 25-pound kettlebell, which is the lightest weight one can swing. Also, until the form of my deadlifts improve, I'm going to keep doing them on a 15-pound training bar. The standard weight for women is 35 pounds, and that's before you've even added any weight to this bar. But somewhere in the middle of my fundamentals classes, I learned an important lesson about transformation. Stepping into the future, or in my case, preparing for my first real CrossFit class, is indeed painful. But this new future is possible only by the grace of God. I'm also learning that pain isn't necessarily always a bad thing. No, we don't want to injure ourselves, but if we never try to pick up a weight we think we can't, we never will. Being a baby CrossFitter has also taught me to look for God's grace in other people. We need other people to teach us how to take the first steps of new behavior. I need my coach to shout, "Legs, arms, arms, legs," a million times before I finally started rowing correctly. I needed a friend to run my last parking lot sprint with me when suddenly both of my legs felt like they weighed 200 pounds each. But more importantly, I need to learn how to do CrossFit in a group setting. I need other people to encourage me, to challenge me to try new things, but also to teach me what not to do. Jesus ends his parable by saying that all who sell their possessions and leave their families to come and follow him will be rewarded 100-fold. He says, "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." What Jesus is saying here is that the goal of Christian discipleship is actually faithfulness to the process of Christian discipleship. And faithfulness means sticking with something, regardless of whether or not we finish first or last or somewhere in the middle. The goal of faithfulness is persevering through adversity, not getting to the finish line before anyone else. We have a saying in our gym that we only move as fast as the slowest person. When we're working on a skill, doing back squats with extra weight, for example, there's no prize for finishing first. In fact, the prize for finishing first is usually that you have to add more weight to your barbell because clearly you can handle some more intensity. Similarly, in the kingdom of God, we're trying to do new things. And we're trying to learn new skills, all so that we can be more faithful to the God who calls and summons us. There is no finishing first in following Jesus. Our reward is in heaven. Or, if we're really lucky, our reward is being asked to serve on one of the ordered ministries of our church.
Friends, one of the things that you'll recognize as we journey through Mark during ordinary time is that all of Mark's parables end with good news. And the good news of our scripture passage for today is that with God, all things are possible. All things, from learning and following the commandments, to leaving home, land, and family, and venturing out into the unknown, to lifting ridiculous amounts of weight over your head, to receiving from God the gift of eternal life. All things are possible with God. The other bit of good news from Mark's parable is that the kingdom of God is actually already unfolding all around us. We see evidence of this when we look around our churches, and we see that the way that we have always done things is no longer working, despite our faithfulness to the practices of the old ways of doing things. Failure in the midst of faithfulness is usually not a sign that we're doing anything wrong, but that God is up to something new in our midst. I dare to say that every church in America right now is wrestling with this question of how do we stay faithful to our calling as a church as we follow God into the unknown. Our two churches, Mount Nebo and Glenshaw Valley, are wrestling with this question as we discern what might shared ministry look like between us. Yet, in the midst of all of these changes, I am filled with great joy in the knowledge that God has chosen us to usher in this new era. What an exciting adventure awaits. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our closing hymn, number 729, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. Friends, let me bless you. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has put you there. God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.